Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back to Montana Talks. This is John Jackson sitting in for Aaron Flint. Once again, Aaron is out at the Plentywood KATQ Farm Expo. He'll be back in the next hour. He'll be back at 8 o'clock with y'all live from out there. Until then, it's just us. I wanted to open up this morning with the big news of the day, alleged to be the big news, and that is today President Trump is said to be going to sign an order to officially eliminate the Department of Education. He's got Linda McMahon in there already dismantling it, and apparently they're going to fold it in under the Department of State, which may get them around the whole congressional approval to actually make it go away. That's probably their tactic here. But I know we've got on line one, we've got Beth from North Carolina, and Beth is a member of our Spaces crew, and I know she's from that. I know she is a former teacher, so I wanted to get Beth's input on this. Morning, Beth.
Hey there. This is so weird. I think the last time I called into a radio was the 80s when I was trying to get free concert tickets.
Well, hey, no worries at all. You're only talking to the entire state of Montana and also Wyoming and North Dakota and in parts of Canada, so don't be nervous.
No, you're lucky I like you.
I got to hear that you being a former teacher, I know you've been on our Spaces a bunch and talked about these various issues. What do you think about Trump killing the federal DOE?
I think it's great. I never taught public school. I like the autonomy of teaching private. I had a lot of freedom in my curriculum, in my room. I could follow the direction of my kids' interests, and it changed every year. And sure, you know, I had like a lot of money behind me because it was private, but today teachers have access to a lot more resources than I did when I was teaching. You know, we were just getting into computers, right? So, I think it's awesome. I think the bloat is so outrageous, and I really feel like the community handled this for hundreds of years prior. Like, why can't we just go back to that?
Yeah, exactly. And the billions of dollars they are flowing through that place. And I think people really, really saw a lot of this go out of control during COVID. That's where you saw your schools, as we all know, get shut down for a year or more, depending on what state you were living in, and our Department of Education go right along with that. And you've got these villains out there, like people like Randy Weingarten and these teachers unions who are just receiving God knows how many millions right into their back pockets. You know, they're just flat out communists. Beth, we got a break coming up here in just a second. You want to hang on? You need to run.
I can hang, I guess.
Okay, stand by one. We are out.
We are
out to a break here in about 10 seconds, and we will be right back here with Montana Talks.
Okay.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing cloudiness across the region today and some areas of rain and snow moving in towards the Livingston and Bozeman areas this afternoon. Rain showers possible later this afternoon in Billings. For tonight, a few rain and snow showers around early on. Otherwise, low temperatures from 22 in Bozeman to around 32 degrees in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
This is House Call for Health. Today is the first day of spring. But for those of us suffering from allergies, you might already be feeling some of those spring fever symptoms. Fox Weather says earlier than normal warm spells sped up the timeline for plants, with many already releasing clouds of pollen into the air. The Pacific Northwest, particularly early with very high pollen counts from trees, according to the Northwest Asthma and Allergy Center. Other locations with early warm temperatures that broke records in late February, Long Beach, California hit highs, as well as Nashville, Tennessee. In general, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says nearly 26% of adults suffer from seasonal allergies, and almost 19% of children do. The CDC says if you know you're prone to having allergies, you should check pollen forecasts and limit outdoor time during high levels, in addition to following recommendations from your healthcare provider for allergy or asthma medicine. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House call for health, Lisa Brady. Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
Here we go. We are back. And you guys, don't forget out there, the number to call in here is 406-294-0970. I know we still got Beth from North Carolina on the line. I want to get her take on this next one because I know for a fact she knows about this because we've talked about this on our spaces. We do our spaces on Twitter, which is X now. We do it every Sunday night, and it would be 7 p.m. Eastern time. Great, great stuff. A lot of people join in, and we've got a lot of people actually what you would term as sneaky listening. A lot of people from the D.C. swamp sneaky listening. So what we say on there actually does matter, and we've seen that it has affected policy. Well, I want to get into our friend Lisa Murkowski. You guys know who she is. She is the senator from Alaska and with a giant R by her name. And she doesn't even really qualify as a rhino anymore. She is, in a Trump presidency, she is a Democrat. I don't know of a thing yet. I might have missed it. In his administration, what are we at, a couple of months here now, that she has voted with him yet? If I missed it, y'all tell me. She's a flat-out Democrat. But the funny thing, and I want to get Beth's take on this, the funny thing about it is she's out here the other day at an event whining, saying Elon Musk is probably going to take his next billion that he makes from Starlink and use it all against her to get her out of office. And, man, I tell you, that just makes me laugh so loud. I love it. And I responded on X to this, and I said, yeah, you GD right, lady. And not only you, but all of y'all out there that even think of stepping up and blocking the MAGA agenda right now. It's not Donald Trump, and it's not Mitch McConnell anymore controlling the big money strings that you can just be out here and give us all the middle finger and there's nothing we can do about it. We've got the world's richest man out there ready to put up the money to primary your traitorous ass. Okay, we're not putting up with this anymore. But, Beth, I know we've talked about Lisa Murkowski a lot on our spaces. What did you think about that?
First of all, I don't even understand Alaska's electoral process. Like, I don't get it, you know. The whole way they get around to voting is crazy. But, fine. Elon can put his money wherever he wants to go. And the fact that these people have their panties in a wad because he's pointing out all the waste and they're all walking around going to empty office buildings and, you know, look at where all the money's going. And we're finding out more and more that almost every official has a relative with a 501c3. Isn't that great? Like they just the glut is so gross, and she's so irrelevant. I mean, she's basically I don't know. There's her and Susan Collins drive me insane.
Well, I wanted to get, I'll let you go, Beth. I'll let you off the hook there. Thank you very much for the call. And I wanted to give Beth credit. Here, it was about a month ago on our spaces. She just came up and said, and this was before a lot of revelations of Doge, the Doge Committee, and Elon Musk revelations had come out. And she said, you know what? I don't think we're actually in debt because of anything we're doing at our core. We're in debt because all of their overspending, their waste, fraud, abuse, corruption, all of that. And it wasn't even like 3, 4, 5 days later, some major revelations came out of Doge that proved exactly that. And what you're going to see, they're already identifying trillions of dollars going out of the Treasury where they don't even know where it's going. They can't even trace it. Trillions going out of Medicaid and Medicare to people overseas. When they truly find out the trillions, and this is going out every year, okay? Every year, they're going to see that, yeah, we're probably not truly in debt for our actual spending in our budget. It's for all the waste, fraud, abuse, and corruption. And nobody wants to get into it. And I mean, even our Republicans up there, because they all got their hands out. They all got their NGO and their little foundation that's being funded to the tune of, you know, $50, $100 million or something like that. It's all one big pig trough, and they all got their snouts in it. All right, and we have to put a stop to this right now. And that brings me into the next topic, and that is what's coming up here probably this summer, the vehicle that will get rid of this stuff, and that's the reconciliation bill. That's a budget bill that Republicans can do here in the middle, and it only requires 51 votes in the Senate. It can't be filibustered. It is a beautiful thing, and they can take all of this stuff, everything that Elon and Doge find, codify it into this reconciliation bill and scrap it forever, or scrap it legally, and the next Democrat that comes in here won't be able to get it back on board unless they control all three houses, unless they have the White House, the House, and the Senate. Get rid of this stuff forever. And really, really big ticket items in there. Get rid of, they can scrap the entire Green New Deal fakery Inflation Reduction Act thing. What was that thing, $400 billion? They can scrap that thing right now in reconciliation. Guys, we expect you to do it. We demand that you do it. There is the music. We're coming up to the break, and we will see you right back here in a second.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economists worry about things that ordinary people don't give a second thought to. We try to measure growth. After all, that requires measuring what the economy produces. It's easy in this rough sense. We convert physical production to dollars and add it all up, using the prices of the products, of course. But here's a new problem that's emerging. A lot of what was produced in the digital economy has no price. Consider the production of photographs. Once upon a time, that involved film, services to produce it, and the printing of photos. Cash changed hands, we added it up. No problem. Not so today. Smartphones give us endless pictures for nothing. Just as online searches, social media posts, and other digital content yields value yet commands no price. Measured in the traditional way, photography has shrunk significantly in the last 20 years. But the digital economy is actually growing, almost twice as fast as everything else, according to new research from the federal statistical agencies. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
The despicable wave of violence aimed at Tesla is finally starting to get more media coverage. And President Trump's chief budget cutter, Elon Musk, is understandably rattled by the violence, telling Sean Hannity Democrats were supposed to be the party of empathy, the party of caring, and yet they're burning down cars. They're firebombing dealerships. They're firing bullets into the dealerships. They're just, you know, smashing up Teslas. They basically want to kill me because I'm stopping their fraud, and they want to hurt Tesla because we're stopping the terrible waste and corruption in the government. Now, it's understandable that the world's richest man feels embattled, feels maybe even overwhelmed. This is the downside of being such a visible target of the Doge budget-cutting situation. But the press finally realizing this cannot be accepted. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at, with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, Governor Greg Gianforte and State Senator Josh Kazmaier visited Circle View Farms in Fort Benton to support raising the business equipment tax exemption from $1 million to $3 million, all in the hopes of helping 700 more farms and ranches and small businesses across the state.
We're talking about business equipment tax, which is essentially an annual sales tax on every piece of farm equipment we see behind us. Every farm and ranch in the state pays it. It's a burden, and we ought to raise the exemption. We've already taken 5,000 small businesses, farms, and ranches off the business equipment tax rolls since 2021, but we need to do more. And the proposal in front of the legislature right now would do exactly that.
Brand Hanford is owner of Circle View Farms.
The business equipment tax exemption is huge to me because we're at a million right now, and a lot of family farms, even though it could be smaller acreages, it doesn't take much to get to $1 million of equipment. Even though it could be smaller acreages, it doesn't take much to get to $1 million of equipment. A new tractor's $500,000, a new combine is $700,000 with a header, so two pieces of equipment will get you over $1 million in a hurry. I think the $3 million exemption is one of those things. As prices and markets and the industry evolves, the government has to adapt and change those policies too.
I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back to Montana Talks. Our phones, our busy phones are lighting up crazy here. We have got on line one, we have got our buddy Z. And he and I know each other. We do our Behind Enemy Lines podcast together every Wednesday at, and what is that? Was that noon? Is that noon Eastern, right, Z? Good morning, sir.
It's noon Eastern. Yes, yes. Time zone confusion, as always, right? Good morning, Brother John. Good morning, Brother John. Great Lakes greetings. Just wanted to put a final point on my call from Tuesday about, and this is related to the Department of Education, and where our money's going to these professors who are promoting violence. The three professors I talked about, one is Lori Sheehy, and Ms. Mary has a tweet on this today, who's also, when you think of this, this professor at Georgetown, on her laptop, which she brings to all her presentations and at these forums, when she lifts up the back cover, says, "This machine kills fascists." So, you know, we don't consider where all this money goes. It goes to the Department of Education. It goes to these NGOs, sort of roundabout way of funding these programs that, and these programs, I'm going to borrow the word again, these programs program our kids. So what they're doing is training the future shock troops that are against, you know, our good way of living here that we've established, and we're paying for our own demise in that sense. So I, you know, the Department of Education has just been this, so, you know, we wonder why people don't have agency, they're not determined, all that other stuff. It's because we've taken and created this huge department, wasted billions, you know. The other thing I was going to say is that George Washington's father died when George Washington was 11. George Washington had a single book that he says helped him, and that was this book on trigonometry that he learned to do surveying with. And so by the age of 14, he was doing surveying. I'm not saying we all have to be genius level like that, but there's something about that determination. We have the big department and tax dollars go for it. It just robs us, right, of that urgency. You know, for the individual to go have action. So it's so important. It's so important to eliminate this and to keep it away, because it will come back. It will just seep back in.
Yeah, and
Z mentioned right there, our friend is Nelly. I want to make sure all of y'all out there, if you are fans of talk radio, you listen to Aaron Flint's show all the time, you need to be up on X. You need to be up on Twitter, because that's where you get all of this information, all of the backstory, all of the stuff that we end up talking about. You won't ever hear it out there on any of your mainstream stuff. You'll hear it from Aaron sometimes, but then we get into it. It's even deeper onto X. So your way to get your news every day is simultaneously listening to Aaron Flint and then being up on X and following the stuff out there. And what our friend Niz Nelly has looked at is exactly what Z was talking about, are all these terrorists that sit in our great universities pretending that they are professors and educators, which when all they are domestic terrorists. And a lot of these people are not even citizens of the United States. They are foreign-born from these countries, these countries that actually foment terror. And right now, the Trump administration is making it their business to get rid of these people. And you're here. It's a standard thing you've always heard your whole life about, you know, anytime somebody ever gets arrested by the cops, oh, he was a straight-A student, going to be an astronaut, right? You've heard that your whole life. That's what they're trying to tell you about. Oh, this august academic of the Trump administration just came on just so wrong and so unfair and just pulled them right out of their house, and it's just so they didn't get their due process. All of these people are terrorists. Don't believe a word of it. Hey, Z, thank you very much for your call. We have got next on, we got on line four, we've got Dana in Livingston. Dana, what you got? Is Dana still there? Is Dana there? Dana, what you got?
I got an idea. We have a Superfund fraud site thing going on with the Butte acid pit. It's a blight on Montana, on the beautiful state of Montana. And I think if someone could put a word into Trump and Elon, somebody with some brains, and I've talked to some engineers, I come from a family of engineers, can fix that, can recycle that, get that stuff out of there, get the flow going the right way to where it doesn't, where the rainwater doesn't wash the tailings down into the pit. It can be cleaned up. And what's the point of having a Superfund funding? Is that another, I don't know, waste, fraud, and abuse kind of thing going on for no reason? Because they're not fixing anything. Nobody's working on it that I understand.
Hey, Dana, there is the music. Thank you very much for the call, sir. You are dead on. And just about every piece of government money out there is being wasted, frauded, and abused. I mean, at every turn. Absolutely. And all of it has to stop. All of it has to be accounted for. Now, hey, stand by. We got at Patriot Girl on the line. We will get to you after the break. Be right back. And we are back after that quick break. We have on our busy phone lines, we have App from North Carolina. What you got, App?
Good morning, John. I just wanted to go back to the Tesla thing for a few minutes. There's some news I saw this morning on X. Rick Wilson, if you don't know who he is, he is one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project, who we know are the biggest Trump haters and rhinos in the world. And he's also a political consultant. Well, he has been suspended from X for 30 days for inciting violence, because he put out a tweet the other day that said, "Kill Tesla, save the country. Elon has a weakness." And literally showed a picture of Tesla's burning. And, I mean, if that's not inciting violence, I don't know what is. And if I were Elon Musk, I would launch a lawsuit against him, because, I mean, that is outrageous and it's illegal. And somebody's going to get hurt at some point. But I thought it was hilarious that he got suspended from X for 30 days because of that. But that's the least that should happen to him, in my opinion.
Well, so you guys know who App is talking about here is a guy named Rick Wilson. he is allegedly a former conservative who in the Trump era, like, you know, Trump broke and exposed so many of these frauds. And now for the last 10 years, he has been just the most disgusting, despicable little worm that has founded, one of the co-founders of this thing called the Lincoln Project, where they're just a bunch of pedophiles over there, just a bunch of disgusting criminal worms over there, who they were responsible. Do you remember that thing? I think it was in 2020 where they faked up something, acting like they were white supremacists, you know, at a Trump rally when it was just them, you know, as a complete charade. I mean, there's that guy deserves to be in jail. I mean, he
does.
And for him out there inciting this, I saw that very post you're talking about, App. And yeah, the very least he deserves is to get suspended out there. Unfortunately, I don't know what federal crimes are committed there, but see, that's the type of thing where we talk about, like, say, on our spaces all the time, where make the process the punishment.
Right.
Bring him into grand juries, get him in front of grand juries, start investigating him, start pulling all of his records, drag him through all this stuff, use the DOJ against these animals just like they used it against us. Thank you very, very much for the call out. That is dead on. And lo and behold, there's the music coming up right now. And that's a topic we'll get into here in a minute about using power. Okay, Democrats know how to use power. And the only way we make that stop is by using it against them. The only way you stop the bully is punch the bully in the mouth. Your mama's been telling you that since you were 5 years old. We'll be back in just a second.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, welcome back. You know what we were talking about just before we went to break there was the use of power. There's our bumper music. It's slowly going down. The use of power. Anybody who's been paying attention to politics, particularly for the last 4 years or the past 9 years, has watched the incredible misuse and abuse of power by these communists in our government agencies, and also then when Biden was president in the White House. They used it to persecute their political enemies, use it to enrich themselves, use it to punish anyone that got in their way, and also use it as payoffs, our tax money, to anybody that would help them. And how do we stop this, guys? Does anybody out there think that we stop this by playing nice? That we stop this by just business as usual, and we're going to be the example for them? We can't sink to their level. Listen, they've been saying that crap out here for 25 years. And every single time we on the right have extended that olive branch, we get it ripped out of our hands and slapped in the face with it. It is way past time to show the bullies we're not going to take it anymore. And that goes for President Trump, his entire administration, and even the whole judge thing. We can no longer, when the enemy, and that's who our enemies are, the left in this country, the modern Democrat Party, is your enemy. When the enemy will not play by the rules, you're going to have to throw the rules out as well. Imagine stepping into a ring with Mike Tyson, stepping into a boxing ring. Mike Tyson's going to whip everybody, right? But if his opponent walks in there with a loaded pistol, you think Mike's got a chance? I don't think he does. Okay, and that's what we've been dealing with for the last 10 years. We're walking into that ring expecting a clean fight, And boom, we get shot. They walked in with a pistol in their pants, in their boxing shorts, and we get shot, okay? We can't do this anymore. We have to play this just like they do so that they understand that what they do to us will get done back to them. So then the next time they're in power, they will think real hard before doing it again. It's the exact same principle your mama always told you. The only thing that stops the bully is a punch in the nose. Hold on. Let's see. It looks like we got a caller here on the line. Well, we have Fred in the Flathead. What do you got, Fred?
Hey, good morning. Using the power that you talked about, Doge is a good example. I thought I was wrong. I kind of thought Doge was just going to be a symbolic thing with some kind of commission and, you know, inspector general report and all that stuff. The way it worked, if people aren't aware, is they parachuted in behind enemy lines on day one with the Elon smart guys. They already had applications, AI applications written to run on COBOL, an obscure kind of an arcane mainframe computer system that's always been the way they've hidden stuff. And that generated all those reports then that they could share with people that were in legitimate authority that didn't need confirmations to start doing that work. And so, I don't know. To me, it's fire and maneuver tactics. You've got to keep maneuvering like they're doing. And this lawfare, I think, is one of the ways they slow that momentum down. But I think they were totally caught off guard with Doge. I think the keys to their kingdom was found with what's been revealed in Doge.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think anybody knew the extent of what was coming. Thank you very much for the call there, Fred. Nobody knew what was coming. And they went in there and found all of this stuff really, really quickly. And they're showing all of that waste, fraud, and abuse. They were prepared to do this. No one has ever done what Elon and Doge are doing. And he's got this group of young kids, from all reports, this group of young kids that work for him are very young. I mean, you could have them even, you know, as young as 18, you know, up to in the mid-20s. And they're all these just computer geniuses. And they will go into a department and they just live there. They're bringing in sofas and cots and food, and they'll do 12-hour shifts. One crew will work for 12 hours while the other crew sleeps. And they'll just stay in there for however long it takes to get this done. I mean, not like we said, not only are they geniuses, genius-level IQ guys with computers and code and all that, but they're that age of kids where, you know, they're not like us, right? they can go without sleep, or they can do sleep on a couch, you know, for 2 weeks at a crack, and it doesn't even affect them. Sleep on a couch and eat junk food for 2 weeks, and it doesn't even affect them. Getting back to, we kind of hit this in the previous hour, and we were talking about this reconciliation bill coming up in the Congress. And for President Trump's agenda, Elon, Doge, what we were just talking about, this is it. We're putting all the eggs right here in this basket. There's so many things that can get done right here, including what we said a minute ago, repealing that whole Green New Deal scam that Joe Biden pulled off here a couple of years ago, $400 billion, I think it is. Repeal that whole thing. And here's one I had. You guys have watched how, what is it, hundreds of billions of dollars of our money were used against us here in the last couple of years, funding the illegal invasion of our country, getting these people here and then housing them, feeding them, everything. They're up in our luxury hotels up in New York City on our dime. What needs to be put into this reconciliation bill is new budget language, new budget law that prohibits in the future any taxpayer money being used to aid in any way illegal aliens. Let's see who we got here. We got on line one, we have, let's see, who is that? Rhonda on line one. Rhonda from Texas.
Hi, John.
Hello, what you got?
I'm actually calling. Do you remember when Obama was in office, and I can't remember if it was his first or second term, where he started replacing all of our military generals?
I do.
Okay, that's the power that we're talking about. And I agree with your last caller about Doge, is that even I kind of thought it was just going to be more of a symbol. But everything they're uncovering, everybody underestimated Doge, and everything they're uncovering is showing you how deep the rot goes. And we can't continue to play by the same rules that we played by for the last 25 years, because the Democrats don't do that. They use their power, and they destroy everything that gets in their way. Now, I'm not saying we should break the law, but we gave Trump a mandate and the Republicans a mandate to do what they could to save this country. And I believe that they should behave that way, because it seems to me, I think they're getting a little better, but it seems to me that they're still kind of sitting on their hands thinking that, oh, this is just, someone else from the other side of the aisle who thinks different than me that and lives in the country. It's not that. They want to destroy this country. We need to act like we know that. And that's really all I've got. But I just wanted to call in to that, because I don't know if anybody remembers, but I remember my mother at the time when he was replacing those generals was like, this is not good. I mean, so it's been going on for a long time.
Oh, 100%, 100%, Rhonda. Thank you very much for the call. That is dead on. And Rhonda's one of those people that's always paying attention, and she knows exactly the truth of what we were just talking about. Let's see. Now we have on line two, we have Niz on line two. Good morning, Niz.
Hi, Jen. I have a quick second. I wanted to update everyone on what's happening in New York City with radical Islam. They are on the march. These organizations that are representing Mahmoud Khalil and pro-Hamas, they're going absolutely crazy. But this is starting to spread on college campuses, and as the weather gets warmer, these riots are going to start growing more and more. And what I wanted to tell everybody in Montana is just because this is happening in blue cities far away, it can happen there. So check your colleges, check your campuses. If there are any radical professors on there, their lectures will be online, their tweets will be online. You can easily contact Linda McMahon at U.S. Education Department. Yeah, on Twitter. Not sure what the Twitter handle is. But these things need to be reported. They are brainwashing the students, and they are pushing this pro-Hamas, pro-terrorism agenda in the classrooms. They're very sneaky about it, and it needs to stop because your tax dollars are funding these campuses.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. As I see, we're coming up to the break here right now, but I want to let everybody know that Niz profiled one of these people here just about a week ago, and yesterday that person got arrested. If you're out there on X, you have to follow her. She is at NizNelly3. Make sure and be following all of these people and be out there on X, because that's where all the information is. That's where all of it happens. We will be right back after this break.
Lowe's knows what makes Spring Fest savings even better are member-only doorbuster deals. Right now, rewards members can save $40 on an Allen & Roth Chrysler Gold Faucet. Was $99, now $59. Plus, save $110 on a Cobalt 40-volt battery trimmer and blower combo kit. Was $279, now $169. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 3/24, while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Fox News commentary.
Gavin Newsom is begging the California legislature for another $2.8 billion to cover the state's Medicaid program. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
As President Donald Trump begins his second term.
Promises made, promises kept. We're going to keep our promises.
Stick with the Fox News Rundown as history is made during his first 100 days. Whether it impacts your family, your wallet, or the world, our team of journalists will give you the sharp analysis and perspective you expect from Fox News. The Fox News Rundown, the first 100 days. Listen and follow now at foxnewsrundown.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
California's Medicaid program, Medi-Cal, is funded by both state and federal tax dollars, and it's broke. It's broke due in part to the fact it covers illegal immigrants. So Gavin had to ask the California legislature for nearly $3 billion more in a loan to cover the deficit. Last week, Gavin asked lawmakers for a $3.4 billion loan from the general fund to cover outstanding Medi-Cal costs. The latest $2.8 billion ask is a band-aid to keep the program solvent through June. Newsom's latest budget proposal projects that California will spend $8.4 billion to cover illegal immigrants and Medi-Cal for 2024 to 2025, followed by $7.4 billion in 2025 to 2026. I guess he didn't anticipate nearly 2 million illegal immigrants ages 26 to 49 would take advantage of his health care offer. Go figure. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing cloudiness across the region today and some areas of rain and snow moving in towards the Livingston and Bozeman areas this afternoon. Rain showers possible later this afternoon in Billings. For tonight, a few rain and snow showers around early on. Otherwise, low temperatures from 22 in Bozeman to around 32 degrees in the Billings area. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, do you guys remember that movie Carlito's Way? I'm reloaded, except for this one is I'm deported. That's right, Trende Aragua, you're out of here. President Donald J. Trump deporting these violent Venezuelan prison gang members who are in this country illegally and even the ones arrested here in Montana. You're out of here. Check out that story. Go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, we had great audio.
Propane can reduce energy bills for both families and businesses. Get the facts at propane.com.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is John Jackson. We just got a few more minutes here before the top of the hour, and that's when Aaron Flint will rejoin you from Plentywood out there at the Farm Expo. We have that slow bumper music going on there. It's going like a plane landing very slowly at your airport. For one of the last topics, I wanted to get into it. The things, if you guys have heard me talk to Aaron before, if you see my stuff on X, one of the big things that trips my trigger personally, there's two things, and it's the budget and it's Ukraine. Because I see those things for years now as the two things that have potential to, or actually are, getting us in the most trouble, having the most risk to our country and our way of life. There's a few out there developments in the whole Ukraine story. Trump is now right in the middle of trying to get a peace deal here. He had a very long call with Vladimir Putin the other day. I guess it lasted a couple hours. He's talked to Zelensky now and is trying to get everybody on the same page. And just like in every negotiation, there's going to be a lot of nuances and a lot of asks from either side in which they have to come to where somewhere in the middle. It's not a thing where you can snap your fingers, but the most important thing is to first get people to stop shooting at each other, right? That's the very first thing you got to have happen. And then after that, you can pretty much get things done. If people will just stop shooting at each other, right? And hopefully that will happen soon. One funny thing about it, though, is you know how the UK over there, Britain's been talking a lot of trash lately about what they're going to do independent of us, blah, 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 blah. Well, I think they're realizing the idiocy of that posture right now. And their own prime minister came out, I just saw it this morning, saying, yeah, it turns out we won't be able to really do any peacekeeping troops or anything over there without the U.S. backing us up. Yeah, we already know that. So y'all can just take all that bluster of yours over there in the U.K. and stow it. Okay, we've been running this thing for the last 4 years and funding the whole thing. Okay, we were running the war under Biden. We're going to run the peace under Trump, whether you like it or not. So sit down and be quiet. You know, we already had to make you sit down and be quiet here a couple of hundred years ago. Don't make us have to do it again. All right, we got on line one, we have my man Nathan from New York. What you got, Nate?
Yo, how are you?
Pretty good, my brother.
I just got 2 minutes at work here to sign in. So I don't know what we're talking about. What shall we talk about?
That's the Nazi from Raiders of the Lost Ark, if you guys don't know.
That's right. That time has passed.
the way Spielberg shot that scene in which, you know, the Nazi opens up the tent and comes in and just very, very ominously and very evilly takes off his jacket and flips out that hanger.
Nunchuck hanger. Yeah. The nunchuck. That was a great gag.
Yeah, you had never seen... Go ahead.
No,
you had never seen a Nazi played like that in a movie in which simultaneously... Spielberg showed him as an evil villain, but as kind of comic as well. It was really interesting.
Oh, yeah. He was very sardonic and, yeah, very funny. And he, yeah, anyhow. So your fire is dying here. Anyway, he's got a lot of great lines. You know, he was in that actor. He threw him in Last Crusade.
Oh, yeah, I did
not know that for years. He was in the book burning thing in the background.
Hey, bro, we got 30 seconds. What you got to say?
I know. I was in London in January, and yeah, they're useless. It's not happening.
Yeah. Well, I think they're finally realizing who their daddy is, and they're going to have to admit it. Thank you very much for the call.
We've been paying for them for 50 years. All right, see you later, man. Bye.
Thanks for the call there, brother, and we will be right back with Aaron Flint at the top of the hour, guys.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Economists worry about things that ordinary people don't give a second thought to. We try to measure growth. After all, that requires measuring what the economy produces. It's easy in this rough sense. We convert physical production to dollars and add it all up, using the prices of the products, of course. But here's a new problem that's emerging. A lot of what was produced in the digital economy has no price. Consider the production of photographs. Once upon a time, that involved film, services to produce it, and the printing of photos. Cash changed hands, we added it up. No problem. Not so today. Smartphones give us endless pictures for nothing. Just as online searches, social media posts, and other digital content yields value yet commands no price. Measured in the traditional way, photography has shrunk significantly in the last 20 years. But the digital economy is actually growing, almost twice as fast as everything else, according to new research from the federal statistical agencies. I'm Patrick Parkin.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.